Hello, Unity Center of Light. Wow, what a glorious day it is to be with you today. And really, I'm with you because remember on March 2nd, I said I was going to take a screenshot so that I could pre-record this directly to you and to you. So here you are and there you are. Thank you so very much for the joy, the honor, and the privilege to be speaking with you today on Divine Guidance in our Lenten Journey. And our title today is Rushing the Sunrise. Originally, this title was The Chaos of Divine Guidance. And while I felt like I was divinely guided, there was this feeling of, it's not quite there yet. It's not quite there yet. Something is so close, but no cigar moment. So April had called me and asked me for the title. And I told her, you know, Chaos of Divine Guidance. But I also said to her, I said, yeah, just something doesn't feel right about it. And she was very gracious. And she said, well, how you need a couple more days? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take a couple more days to see what arises for the new title. So one morning I was out watching the sunrise, and I was just absolutely anxious about this title, and just like, I want this title, like, God, I need this title. And I'm looking at the sun and I'm going, come on, I need this title. And I also had this extremely busy day, and I was like, come on, you know, rise, sun, rise. I've got things to do and places to go and things to conquer. Give me the title and just rise. And it was in that moment that I was like, you're rushing the sunrise. How absurd that I thought that I could rush the sunrise or make anything happen before it was time. But also in that moment, I realized that God had just given me the title for today's talk, Rushing the Sunrise. And I knew it, you know, the moment I knew that I was rushing the sunrise and how absurd it was and all of that, the title from the tips of my toes to the top of my head, I knew that was the title, Rushing the Sunrise. A little bit later that day, I was also guided towards a quote from Ilana Van Zandt that captures the very essence of divine guidance, and it goes like this. We cannot rush the sunrise or pay to bring on the full moon. Everything will happen when it is supposed to happen. You see, sunrise is a metaphor for a new birth, a new awareness, a holy moment of let there be light. And this divine guidance is always with us, but most often we are too busy rushing the sunrise, as I was that morning, or too busy to hear it, or sometimes or a lot of times we dismiss it or avoid it altogether, especially depending on what we're being guided towards. Or simply it's just not time, or we're not receptive enough to hear that. In Butch's March 2nd title, you know, he was talking about this being our intuition, our inner guidance, this be still and know. And in our fellowship, there was this resounding theme of, you know, every time I didn't follow divine guidance, there were consequences to pay, or in my experience, hell to pay. I also recall in our fellowship, Shayla mentioning something that was like, I heard it, but I'm not sure if that was divine guidance or not. And then my favorite one is if I don't want to do it, then I know I need to do it. And that's how I decipher divine guidance. And Joe had said that. And I loved it because that's kind of how I live my life, is like, I live my life in moments of, if I don't want to do it, then I know it's mine to do. Divine guidance is a it's tricky because it just completely goes against the opposite of what we would normally do. And when we go against what our normal operating system is, there's this, this ego that rises up and goes, no, we can't do that. That's no, it's gonna mess up our entire system. We do things this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. And so oftentimes we get into this conflict of what divine guidance wants and what we want. And that's where that tricky balance is that we have to be able to stay tuned into the divine guidance and not our inner programming. My guru calls it pre-programmed, which is pretty poignant. But we have to stay tuned in and tuned up to be able to allow the receptivity of the divine to move through. One of the ways that I stay tuned up is every morning I'm kind of an early bird, so every morning I get up and I either sit in meditation or I do a yoga practice, depending on what my body wants. And sometimes it wants movement, sometimes it doesn't. I don't go 180 miles an hour anymore. It's more like 110. So I always have to tune into that inner wisdom and, kind of in that feel what my body wants, because that's our first inner guidance system is how we feel, not necessarily what we think, but how we feel. So I'm always tuning into how my body feels and what it wants for the morning. Does it want more stillness? Doesn't want yoga, doesn't want to go back to bed. But tuning into this, my body first allows me to unify the body and the mind, and again, operate from that unified state of being. And that's that place where divine guidance has the most, has the best chance of arising through a balanced state of being. In the mornings, I also listen for the birds. It's written that all of creation sings when the sun rises. However, I have noticed that the birds sing at distinct phases prior to the actual sunrise. There's actually three phases of sunrise, and they call this the twilight zone. Appropriately, right? Do, 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 do. These three distinct phases officially are called the astronomical, the nautical, and the civil sunrise. But to keep it simple, we're just going to call it ending beginning, middle, ending beginning. Because endings and beginnings happen almost simultaneously. And the middle, that's where everything happens. That's where all the action is. And it's what we do in the middle of anything that will determine the sunrise and what happens next on the horizons. This middle phase has a mixture of darkness and light. There's not one more or less or one of the other. And one's not pitted against the other, going, I'm better than you. No, you're not. No, it's that, again, balanced state, that unified state of balance in the twilight zone. And it's kind of poignant because today is the spring equinox. It's where we have a complete balance of light and dark. There's enough daylight and enough nighttime, and they're both equally balanced here on the spring equinox. Metaphorically, this is a halfway point. And again, it goes back to that unified state of being, and it's always a balance of two of something. We have sun and moon, materialism and spiritualism. We have yin and yang, male and female, head and heart. And when there is this balance, again, this creates that fertile receptivity to tune into to follow the divine guidance. Interestingly enough, mornings are also usually the best time to be receptive because, the world hasn't awoken on this day on at this time. So there's not all this interference coming in, and so again, it's a little bit more still in the morning, and again, that opens up the receptivity. Not saying that you can't go out during the day. You take that which you cultivated in the morning and you take it out into your day and keep those channels open. But there's got to be a balance, that halfway point. Our Lenten journey is also just 2 days shy, 2 days shy of this metaphoric halfway point. And I don't know about you, but personally, I always feel this intensified pressure when I get to the halfway point of anything. Again, it's this middle section. It's like you're in the middle of this, that, and everything. But there's this intensified pressure do I really need to be doing this? I start to question or doubt myself, or have fear that I'm not going to be able to get it done. Or, I want to get there and I want to get it done now. I want this over now. These are the crucial moments when we need to tap back into divine guidance of what we were following in the first place, and to be tapped into that divine guidance to listen for the next steps in these moments that those doubts and those fears begin to rise up, or when the ego comes in and goes, "No, don't mess up my system." If we rush, as in rushing the sunrise, if we rush these moments, ultimately we have to repeat them and go back and go back to a step that we may have missed. This middle portion has this struggle to it. Again, like I said, I just, I get to it, intensified pressure, and I want to get it done. And it's like, oh goodness, I'm struggling. And struggling with struggle only intensifies the struggle. If we take the analogy of quicksand, we see it all the time in the movies. Somebody falls in the quicksand and they start to struggle and they're going down, 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 and before you know it, they're covered in sand because of their struggle. But I actually just read something the other day that you can survive quicksand. But the first thing that you have to do is stop struggling and tune into the breath and fill your breath up with all the way as much as you can so that you actually begin to float on that quicksand and then you can kind of move yourself to safety. And I thought that was absolutely amazing because I thought that being a quicksand was a death sentence, but it's not. Tuning in and stop and releasing the struggle so that again the divine guidance can come in. And right now it seems like lately we have been caught in the middle of something for far too long. We've had our global pandemic, we've got inflation, now we have the war, the invasion of Ukraine. This is increasing our gas prices, and everything feels like it's coming in just like that quicksand. And as a society, we tend to be very uncomfortable in the unknown or the struggle. Again, wanting it done, I need to know now instead of when it's time. Every struggle is the birth of some sort, and it's rarely comfortable or easy. When we tune into the natural world and we look at the natural worlds, there every transformation is messy. We watch the caterpillar go into its cocoon and come out this glorious butterfly. But in the middle of that, it's awful. You know, it's in there in that black ooky stuff. And when the cocoon breaks and it starts to break out of that, all that ooky stuff comes out and floats away from it, leaving this glorious butterfly. We see little tiny birds when they birth, that they got to break through that shell to actually come into the world. Even our own births were messy. Ask your mom. It was messy and it was painful. Or when we look at a lotus flower that has to go through the mud and the muck, you know, to travel all the way to the top to flower one time. One time it gets to flower. And then its seeds fall out and goes all the way back down through the mud and the muck to do the process all over again. A new direction and a new way of being is this same birth process, and in our Lenten journey represents this birth and transformation. It's messy, it's hard, but there's guidance always available if we're receptive and imbalance. We have to follow it. When I was, the birds that I listen to always, it always brings up the quote of from Matthew 6:25. But there's so much more to this quote than just the actual quote of, "Are you not worth more than the birds?" And so I'm going to read this quote to you. And it states in Matthew 6:25, "I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grains in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more, much more than the birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wildflowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes. But I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in fields, even though it's here today and thrown out into the fire tomorrow. God will surely do even more for you. Why? Why do you have such little faith? Only those who do not know the Lord are always worrying about such things, when your Father in heaven knows you need them all. But more than anything, put God's work first and do what she wants." Waiting on the divine and waiting on divine guidance takes faith and preparation on our part. And faith, according to the revealing word, states that it is the assurance of things hoped for. And this assurance it doesn't come from the Lord. It gets activated by you. Much like you would pay your insurance premiums. If it's not paid, you don't have insurance. If we don't take actions and steps to have faith that whatever it is we hope for will come to fruition, it just will not be. So how can we have faith in knowing what she wants is what we're hearing. I've always thought of this little formula that I've made. It's called faith plus gratitude equals abundance. Faith plus gratitude equals abundance. And this abundance is not monetary. It's abundance of thoughts and ideas and divine guidance. So there's definitive ways in which we can decipher whether it's divine guidance or if it's not, because divine guidance has this particular way of coming in. And just like the birds that sing at three distinct phases of the sunrise, and in the first part of the, you know, like when it's the breaking of the dawn, there's this one little tweet, tweet. That's all I hear. And then when it gets to like the middle portion, there's another round of birds singing. And then, of course, when it sunrises, they're ballistic. Divine guidance is the same exact way. It's like it comes in like maybe just this one little tweet, and then it gets a little louder, and then it gets really loud when we listen. Or if we don't, that's when it gets really loud. So definitive ways on how we can decipher whether it's divine guidance are if it arises out of nowhere. You know, when we stop looking for divine guidance, when we, you know, like when I said in the sunrise, it's like, come on, I want the title. When we just stop, you know, forcing something to happen, trying to figure it out, that's when it arises. And also when you don't have a pen in your hand, I've found that out as well. But when we try to make something happen, you know, we're just muddling the waters, we're muddling the channels for divine guidance to make its way in. So the first way is when it arises out of simply nowhere. The other way is, you know, if you don't want to do it, it's divine guidance, as Joe said in fellowship a couple of weeks ago. If you don't want to do it, then you might want to explore that just a little bit more. The other way is if you have to justify it, defend it, argue with it, if it's making a case that says this is the way that you need to go and these are the specific ways that you need to do it, that's not divine guidance. That is, I don't know what that is, but that we could call it ego, we could call it pre-programmed, whatever you want to call it, but that's not divine guidance if you have to lay out this whole single plan to make that one idea right, to make it work. The other way is, how do you feel? When something comes in, tapping into, how does this make me feel? Sometimes is all that's needed. Tuning into this divine guidance and seeking this divine guidance is the keys of the kingdom that Jesus spoke about, of seeking first and foremost. All of nature, the birds, the bees, the butterflies, the dragonflies, all things that fly, all of nature follows this natural rhythm and doesn't have a care in the world. They're not rushing the sunrise. They have faith knowing that they will be taken care of and all their needs will be provided. And this includes us. So take your time. Be at peace with yourself as you are and all of existence. And watch the sunrise. Namaste.